Heavenly Father, we pray that before you we will have open minds and open hearts. Please take us on your journey this morning, Father. Amen. So we're in the middle of a series at the moment called Starting Over, and we've been going back to Genesis to rediscover God's plan for our lives and for our church and for our city. And last week, Matt invited us to look in the mirror. Do you remember the story about Max, his dog? If you haven't heard it, if you weren't here last week, and you haven't heard the story, ask Matt afterwards. It's a great story. And originally, when we held up the mirror, we would have reflected God's character faithfully to the world. But soon we heard, and Matt reminded us, that we wanted to be gods ourselves. And today's headlines will tell you the stories of what happens when we want to play God for ourselves. And one such event early in our history is this story we heard that Katie read about the Tower of Babel. The population there decided they were going to build a tower, and it reflected their desire to take the place of God. It was built with slave labor, in all probability, for the rich and the powerful to show how powerful and rich they were. And God wasn't best pleased. The story goes that God confused their language, and they started to speak all sorts of different dialects and languages, and they were scattered over the whole earth. And as we progress through the biblical library, we see this sort of thing happening again and again. But what we do know is that God continually opposes the oppressors, continually, like at Babel, takes the side of the humble, the vulnerable, and the poor. If we look at all the Bible stories taken together, it demonstrates that the living God doesn't uphold the status quo, but he repeatedly disrupts it, breaks it apart, so that something better can emerge. And then eventually we leap forward into the stories of Jesus, and we heard one again this morning. And it shows God's way of arranging things. The last are first, the first are last, leaders serve, the humble, not the arrogant, inherit the earth. And the rich man finds it hard to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus shows us that God is at work in healing what it's broken. Whether it's a cut finger, an argument, a row, or whether it's the earth itself. We can make a start, but ultimately Jesus will finish it. God will finish the job. God is at work in our lives to heal what is broken, both personally and also when we walk out into the city, in our government, in our countries, and so on. To be alive is to look at our world and say, we know that God tells us that things can be better than this. And if we tap into his Holy Spirit, we can play our part in God's kingdom coming in our lives, in our city, in our earth. Last night, 10 people from St. Mary's and the Ely team were confirmed in the cathedral. It was a splendid event. And at the end of the service, each candidate was given a big candle to take. And it was lit at the altar, and they processed down the aisle, through the door, into the open streets outside. A wonderful symbol that we're all called to take God's healing into the world. When we enter God's story, when we choose to say, yes, God, I'm going to do it your way, we are compelled to act in our world. And one example of this, of course, is the work that Mike and Sue are doing in Potter's Village. And so I thought this morning would be a really good time for us to hear what's been happening recently and how we can pray and support Mike and Sue in the future. So Mike and Sue, if you'd like to come up, that'd be great.
Once again, it's lovely to be back with you and to update you on how your money has been spent in the past 6 months. Potter's Village, as a reminder, is funded by a charity in the UK, but St. Mary's raises extra funds, which we can use at our discretion. And this gives us so much more ability to give aid instantly where it's really needed and not necessary within the project remit. Since the beginning of January, we have taken in 19 children and resettled 19 to the community. I may be wrong, but it feels that the children coming in have even more complex social problems than usual.
Timothy and Joel are twins who came in just before our visit to the UK last time. Their mother had died from TB. In August, we heard the sad news that the father had also died. Parents were HIV positive. Winifred, the social worker, visited the wider family. They live in a remote community, all of whom are related. The place is filthy, and many of them are alcoholics. They're also steeped in ancestral worship. At first, they said no one could take the twins, but they later altered that. The dead mother had been haunting their dreams, telling them these twins were their kin and they should take responsibility for them. First, they wanted to make sacrifices on the mother's tomb and perform rituals to tie her to the grave. By law, we have to return the twins to them, but we don't really want to.
The income-generating scheme for our community support children is going well. One family was delighted how the manure from the goat was improving the quality of their vegetables, so they all benefited. The medical centre has followed its usual fluctuating pattern. This year so far, we have seen 4,397 outpatients, had 964 inpatients, and 115 babies in the premature baby unit. On June the 8th, the nutritional rehabilitation unit, which for simplicity we're calling the unit, moved into the ground floor of the hostel building. It has an 8-bed ward with possible overflow into an adjacent building. We now give each arrival 4 nappies, nappy pin, plastic pants, and 2 sets of clothes. Covered bottoms means that the incidence of diarrhea has markedly reduced. The children get fed every 2 hours, day and night, to start with, but then they move to 3 hourly feeds. Since June the 8th, 50 children have been through the unit, and we follow them up in the community to ensure that progress is being maintained.
Brian was an abandoned baby found in a plastic bag still attached to the placenta. He came to us cold, unfed, and having had the cord cut by a dirty panga knife. It took him 2 weeks to get to grips with sucking, and we wondered whether he would make it. Eventually, the mother was found. She was a teenage girl who'd been raped. The man told her that if she missed her periods for 2 months, then to drink paraffin. She did for the rest of the pregnancy. She didn't realize it was supposed to abort the baby. One day she picked some beans and put them in a plastic bag and set off to take them to her sister. On the way, she had pains and hid in a field to see what would happen. When the baby was born, she took the beans out of the bag, put the baby and placenta in, tied the bag and carried on. She didn't tell anyone what had happened. It was others in the neighborhood who were suspicious. Winifred visited Brian's grandmother and found her with her own youngest and severely malnourished child. She suggested she brought him to the nutritional unit for help, which she did. Outside the office one day, she was holding Brian. Through a translator, I said that Brian was a very special baby, as it was a miracle he had survived. She replied that he had already blessed their family, as because of him, her son's life had been saved and he was made well again. It won't be easy for her to have Brian. She has 7 children already, and an alcoholic husband who drinks any money she gets, leaving the family to beg or starve. We're trying to help her find a solution, but it's not easy.
So, what has your money been spent on in the past 6 months? We've spent quite a lot of your money. Thanks to you, Festo can now drive the pickup van. This is a great help to us. The cost of his driving license was £82.60.
£22 was spent adding an extra kitchen area to the canteen. It came out about half the size we discussed, but never mind.
Sonia and her gran are fostering Sarah for us after her first foster home went wrong. She's a troubled child and is hard work. The grandmother is old and frequently ill. She was struggling greatly, and so we paid £40 for her to have a maid to help. That need has now passed.
From your extreme generosity, £7,359 was paid towards the ultrasound machine that Mike took back to Uganda last time. £592 pays for Mike to do further training in ultrasound at Addenbrooke's this month.
£37 was written off from a debt to release a dead baby from Kizizi Hospital.
£58 was spent on this hut for a toilet attendant to shelter from the rain. Since Vincent started on October the 1st, I've not had to deal with unpleasant toilet issues. Long may that continue.
£39 was spent boarding up this room and buying paint. We've moved immunizations out of the medical center as it was becoming too crowded. One thing people like about the medical center is how smart and clean it is, and this room let us down. £40 was spent repainting the private room as there were two areas of bare plaster.
The workshop finished its order for coffee tables for the diocesan guest house and is now making them bedside tables. We've done two chairs for disabled children and a standing frame for young dais. You pay £30 a month for Nicholas to work in the workshop and also £10 a month for his lunch in the canteen.
The new unit couldn't perform without equipment. It has been great to be able to get it equipped. £284 bought a trolley, good scales, height board, chopping board and knives for cookery demonstrations, fire extinguisher to keep us legal, and a solar light for power cuts. When Jemima started visiting in the community, we spent £10 for a large rucksack to carry the scales. They survived for some time without a sink, but clearly that is no good with two hourly feeds day and night. £140 put in this sink. £3,000 was given to the trustees to help towards the projected £12,000 it would cost to run the unit for the first year. £483.60 was spent on medical supplies when I last visited Kampala.
Of course, we want to update you on Saba's family. Just before the last talk, I had had an email to say that one of the pigs that we had given the father had died. He was relying on selling the piglets to keep the family going until the harvest was ready. The father had not wanted to tell us, and the family was again starving. Jeffrey took them food, and we planned again. £65 of your money was spent on sheep, which don't require added food. He had a good bean harvest on his land. When I last saw him in September, I was pleased to see the father's cheeks had filled out a bit. He is still emaciated, but definitely eating more. As for Saba, he is still a gorgeous and distinctly chubby little toddler.
The rains came late this year. That meant a delay in planting for the next harvest. It also meant the lack of rain ruined late harvests. Jeffrey told Sue that on his land, he can usually get 10 sacks of potatoes. This year, he only got two. Imagine what it must be like if your usual yield was two sacks. You would only have a plastic bag of potatoes. Just a matter of a few weeks can make the difference between survival and starvation. It's such a reminder of how fine a balance it is for many between life and death. The combination of poor harvests and a predicted 30% rise in inflation before the elections in February mean that a higher rate of deaths from starvation is expected. It brings us back to those children in our unit, to have been so hungry for so long that you are unable to eat, to be so lacking in energy that you can no longer cry out in pain or distress. Every child we can bring back from that is wonderful. But then we have the responsibility of trying to ensure they don't slip backwards just to go through it all again. And sadly, the truth is that some will. That hurts. It really does. But with your help and support, we will continue to do all we can to make life worth living for the sick and vulnerable children that come our way.
The Grade 1 magistrate in Kisoro was introducing the new deputy police commander at a district committee meeting. She said to him, "If Potter's Village calls, respond immediately. Potter's Village is the Garden of Eden for vulnerable children." What a wonderful analogy, the Garden of Eden for vulnerable children.
Thank you very much for filling us in. It's very, very moving, and we're still aghast at what you two guys are up to. So we'd like to pray for you, please. Father, we do thank you for the work of Potter's Village. Thank you for Mike and Sue and for their team. Thank you for all the lives that have been saved and enhanced. We pray that you would continue to give them courage and strength. That you'd help them to deal with those sleepless nights. You would help them as they deal with people who don't understand, maybe, what is good for them and their families. As they help to educate and to improve some of these families' lives. Father, please surround Mike and Sue with your love and give them real rest in this time before Christmas, before they go back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you very much. Well done. Thank you.